Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Today we're featuring Colin Varvel.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing, Colin? Jake here. Tom here too, right?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So let's get to it. So Colin, you're in a band, right? What's the name of the band?
Yeah, I play for a band called In Ovo. It's INOVO. We're kind of a local heavy metal band with southern groove influence, and I also bring a lot of progressive shred metal influence. So it's kind of an interesting mix.
Awesome. Yeah, I like what I'm hearing so far.
So how long have you been in the band?
I've been in the band about, what is this now? A little over a year. I joined New Year's of last year.
And how long has the band been together?
The band's been together for about 3 years now.
Oh, yeah.
I've gone through several different lineups, but the current bass player and the guitarist were the original founding members.
So how'd you meet up with them? Were your friends you knew?
Yeah, there were some friends. I actually met them at a show that another one of my friends' band was playing like 6 months prior to when I joined the band. And I got to know the guys pretty well, and then one of their guitarists left, so they were looking for another one, and I was looking for a gig at the time. So
have you ever played in another band prior to?
No, this was my first band.
Oh, wow. So this is the first band you've been in how long again?
About a year.
A year? So are you the leader?
A year and 4 months now. No.
He just entered the band.
He played his guitar?
Yeah, I play lead guitar. I'm kind of like the mercenary, you know. I'm so busy with school, I don't really pay attention. And they call me up, hey, we got a gig. I'm like, all right, I'll be there.
So do you rehearse a lot?
We practice 2 times a week, but this semester I've been kind of a ghost. I always have to keep canceling.
They get pissed off at you? Are they borderline kicking
you out
of the
band?
No,
they're cool. No, they understand.
Because like, they know there's nobody better, right?
Next week we're going to hear that Colin is out of a job.
Not good. So how long do you guys rehearse for? Twice a week?
Usually 2 to 3 hours, something like that. You know, we'll play through our set list once and mess around, write some new stuff.
How many songs do you guys have?
Right now I think we have about 15, but we have a good 7 or 8 that we play on a regular basis at shows.
Where do you play at?
We play all around town. We play the White Rabbit, Zombies. We're actually playing the Zombies this Saturday. I forgot to tell you guys that.
Really?
Oh, wow. Okay, there we go.
This Saturday, May 1st, Zombies. It's over on Thousand Oaks and Nacogdoches. It's a pretty cool club. It's pretty relatively new, I think, the past, like, 4 months.
Is it, like,
do you have to be a zombie to...
No. It's open to the public. Zombies and non-zombies alike. You don't have to like brains.
What's the cover?
I think it's going to be between $5 and $10. I'm not really sure.
Awesome. So are you guys the headliners? Are you opening up for somebody?
I think we're somewhere in the middle of the set. I don't know who's headlining. Honestly, I haven't been paying attention. I'm so busy. I have so many papers, so many projects
to
do.
This is the best one.
My band's on the back burner right now.
Dang, so your band's on the back burner, but it's the last day of class, right? So
yep. Oh, my God.
We'll can't be free.
Wait.
Yes.
So you're going to hit it really hard. Oh, you guys are recording soon?
Yeah, hopefully we're going to record in June. We're set to record at Monster Studios here in town.
Is that by Rhapsody?
No, it's over there on 410 in Calabria area.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, you know Keith from Monster Studios?
No,
he runs it out of his house, but he's got like a lot of gear, and he's recorded most of the metal bands here in San Antonio.
Oh, awesome. So he does good work.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of equipment do you use?
Me personally, I play through my guitar is a Dean RC7X. It's the Rusty Cooley model. It's pretty nice guitar, EMG 707s, original Floyd Rose. It's got a nice Rusty Cooley's extra cutaway, so you can get way up there with higher frets. And I play out of an ENGL Powerball 100-watt head. And my cabinet is just a Randall 4x12.
Oh, cool. That's a good sound. Did you pick that combination, or did you just fall upon it?
I fell upon the Randall, actually. I got a really good deal on Craigslist.
Craigslist is a really good place to go.
I mean, I got that that cab for like $200 in retail. It's got to be at least 4 or 5.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Does it have really good speakers in it, or are they like the shitty ones?
You know, I don't know. I think it's got Celestians in there. I haven't really looked. I mean,
you haven't looked?
It's been sounding good. I never really took the back off.
I don't know if Randall uses Celestian speakers. I used to be all into that stuff.
I don't know.
I was playing death metal in high school and stuff.
Yeah,
that's what I first learned how to play before classical or any type of rock. I just wanted to... that's all I wanted to do. Just to palm meat. Once I got that first palm meat.
Oh, yeah. Chugga, chugga, chugga. Oh, yeah.
I can do this now.
Just put on the most distortion you can.
Most of what we talk about here on the podcast is people's beginnings to certain musical aspirations. We've only had musicians on the show. We've never had a writer or anybody else.
Yet.
So we've only talked, because we will. We've never really talked about how they first started writing or what, but we've always talked about musicians and how they first started, just interest, how they, first got interested. So how old were you when you started picking up the guitar?
Well, I'll start way back. I was I think it was in first grade. I mean, I always had a love for music. I was in first grade when I started taking piano lessons for a little bit. Now, it only lasted a few months.
Was that your choice?
Yeah, actually, it was my choice. I think it was just a summer thing. Like, I was at some summer camp, like, at the middle school in town, and I was taking piano lessons. And then I ended up playing a clarinet, I think, in second grade, just for that year, and I dropped it after a while. I was playing, like, Yankee Doodle and stuff, got kind of bored.
It was too good for the recorder. You just had to do the clarinet, right?
I don't know. I wasn't in the practicing state of mind back then. I was a really active kid, you know. I was on a sugar high, so I couldn't sit down and practice. So, I mean, that's where I started. I always had a passion for music. And then I got my first guitar on my 16th birthday. I got a Gibson Les Paul Standard. It was pretty nice.
Oh, that's a nice first guitar.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, mine was like, I got a $100 like combo where it's like a guitar with an amp and the
like
cord.
10 picks and a strap that is worth shit, ain't worth shit.
Yeah, but I was just I was a kid. I didn't, you know, my parents didn't want to invest anything with that now. But first one was like, that's a really nice guitar. But any of your family members musicians?
No, not at all, actually. I mean, I think it skips a generation because my grandfather plays the organ and piano pretty well.
Oh, wow.
But my parents are not musical at all. I just kind of skip them. But both me and my brother are musicians. My brother plays the drums and he also plays guitar.
I'm a little intimidated with organ players.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just, oh, my God, so biggest much. Especially when I listen to Bach.
Oh, yeah, so much going on at once. Like,
it's the biggest instrument, isn't it?
I would think so.
Right?
Yeah. But you know, in terms of tasks and how many, you know, how many layers of sound you can do, and all the texture and dynamics,
all
and
the stops they have to pull out.
Oh, yeah, the feet. Incredible. If there's any organ players who are listening, we would like to have you on the show.
We revere you, and we might reward you for being on the show.
Yeah, right? I'll give you a pat on the back.
Yeah, well, I mean, the being on the show is the reward, I think.
Yeah, right? Get you some exposure.
Yeah. So Colin, so like you're in a death metal band. So what are your favorite death metal bands you like to listen to?
You know, I don't really like the favorite band or favorite guitarist kind of question because I always have so many, you know, I could never really narrow it down to one.
Who are you listening to right now?
Right now, I haven't been listening to metal at all this entire semester. I haven't really been listening to music at all other than what I'm playing in class. I mean, my life is so busy. It's just, like, I have school, I'm in class all day, and then I go home and practice a little bit, and then I rehearse with my band, and that's pretty much my life right now. But one of my all-time favorites is All Shall Perish, a great band, and their original lead guitarist, Chris Story, he is a beast, and I actually took lessons with him for a few months last semester on Skype, and that guy
badass.
Is a crazy good guitarist, but he actually left the band, and they got this new guy, I think his name was Jason Richardson, but he ended up leaving too, so I don't know what they're doing right now, but the album they put out with Chris Story, Awaken the Dreamers, is like one of the best albums, I think, of all time, as far as death metal goes.
Damn.
I'm not really familiar with that band.
What's it called?
All Shall Perish.
All Shall Perish. I have friends that are into them, but I never really learned. I never heard their music. I've never heard them.
So how would you describe their style?
It's really just heavy, chunky, and aggressive. And the thing I like about the newest album is that they kind of went towards a more melodic, progressive kind of sound, but still keeping it within the death metal frame. The main thing I like about it, obviously, are just the insane solos that Chris Story does. Like, he's
is it more
virtuoso
sweeps?
Extraordinary.
Is it
a lot of sweeps, a lot of fast, extended pentatonic string skipping. He'll do 5 notes per string, so he'll be doing 3 notes with the left hand and 2 notes tapping with the right hand. It's like,
oh, dang.
Like, really fast, crazy stuff.
So it's borderline, like, progressive. It's not just death metal, like, listening to Napalm Death.
It's much more melodic and progressive.
There's a lot of snare drum.
Oh, yeah, there's still a lot of blast beats and stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course. You got to have that in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So is that you guys employ that in your band?
Not so much, no. Our drummer is not into blast beats, really. We're not death metal, more heavy metal southern groove. I like to think
that's right.
A heavier Pantera,
So you say southern. Do you mean more bluesy, like just a lot of blues scales in there? With some riffs,
a little more bit pentatonic.
It's
has
not so
attitude,
much bluesy,
right?
But it's pentatonic with attitude and just groove, really.
Yeah, that's what it's about. I saw a band, I don't know their name anymore. Winter something, Winter Solstice
Winter
was
Sun.
Like
Winter Solstice.
Winter Solstice. Yeah, I saw Winter Solstice once at a really like shitty show downtown, and they're of that type, and they did it well, like you know, like a heavier Pantera. They had a lot of.
I don't think anybody's heavier than Pantera.
I mean, not heavier, but like groovy style.
Oh, we're heavier. See, we just down-tune. I play on the seven string, that's the
difference, right?
You play on a seven string?
Yeah, like my other guitarist plays on a six string, and he tunes to a drop B flat, and that's kind of ridiculous down-tuning for a six string. And
is it all flopping all over the place?
No, he uses really heavy gauge strings. I think he uses like 13 or 14 gauge strings. Dang. Something ridiculous. Like his lowest string is like a 64.
64.
Yeah, it's like it's almost as thick as a bass string.
I bet it's still really low.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I never saw the point in down tuning that low, so I just used 7 strings and I actually.
So you use your 7 string and then you tune lower like 2.5 steps, right?
Actually, I tune the main 6 strings up a half step on my 7 string, and I drop the low string down a half step, so it's drop B flat. So it's like F standard with B flat.
F standard with B flat.
Yeah, you know, like E A D G B. It's just F, F, A sharp.
Maybe you should try that Spinal Tap route, where they had everybody in the band with a bass guitar, and the bass guitarist had a double bass. So they could get lower. If you really want to, you'd have a heavier sound on.
Yeah, you have like a double neck 10 string guitar.
10 string bass.
I'm still trying to understand your tuning. It's a 7 string guitar, which is normally tuned A, not A. Is it
it's
A?
It's normally like a 7 string guitar. What they do is they just have an extra low string and it's a B.
B,
so it's
right?
B, E,
B,
A, D, G,
yeah,
B,
yeah.
B.
Okay. So you tune and it up to.
You tune the
so
B
I,
to
I
a.
I tune the
C?
B to a B flat. So I drop that down a half step and I tune everything else up a half step. So it ends up being drop B flat. Just because
oh,
it's, you know, like drop B, but it's drop B flat. Because
the A
string
becomes a B flat.
Yeah.
Right, so you can
and everything else goes up to F.
Cool. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You can get some nice extended chords because I still have that the high E or the high F string on there too, so I can get some really nice chords.
Who writes the songs for your band?
Is it
a whole group collaboration?
Yeah, it depends. Most of the time it's a group collaboration. I think some of our best songs have been written when, you know, one of the guitarists will just come out with a riff. And then, see, another cool thing is our drummer, he also plays guitar, and our bass player also plays guitar, and our singer also plays guitar. So everyone can, whoever comes up with a riff, and we'll just start jamming with it and see where, you know, the ideas kind of go, and everything goes from there.
Cool. So it's not like a Metallica where the two dudes write the band and they bring you in and they say, shred over this.
No, not really.
Good. Good. That sounds like a lot more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Group setting.
So what typically are the subjects about in your songs? Is it about...
You know what? I have no idea. I've never actually sitting down and taking a look at the lyrics. I mean, our old singer, he used to... It was mainly a mix of him and our other guitar player that wrote some of the songs, and or as far as the lyrics went, I never really paid attention to that. Our new singer, I think one of them is about a car accident. One of them is about one song is called "You Could Have Warned Me." Like, you could have warned me if they were gonna do this. I don't know. I don't really pay attention to the lyrics, man.
Well, they're kind of hard to understand, right? I mean,
yeah, and that's why it's not like I can really listen and sing along. I actually have to sit there and get the piece of paper and read along with it because it's all. Blah, blah, blah.
Have you ever been in a major car accident?
Not a major one, no. I think my singer had.
No?
No.
Oh, yeah, we had a conversation about that, yeah. Changes you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it good for death metal lyric writing, or what? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, once you get in a car accident, you know, you're going to start, you know, writing death metal songs based on that. It's almost automatic.
How many death metal songs did you write after your accident?
I've got, like, 5 albums. How about the same car accident?
Oh, dude, what are they called?
Are
they, like, the... They're obviously concept albums. Like,
yeah, one of them's called Phlegathon. Because, yeah, it's like a river of fire.
Yeah.
There's fire involved.
Wow reference, right?
I don't know. I just heard that term
today.
It's
World of Warcraft, right? You play World of Warcraft?
I actually did at one point.
Well, I checked it out on Wikipedia. It's one of the rivers of hell.
Phlegathon?
Yeah, river of fire. And I guess World of Warcraft used that as one of their things. But originally, it's one of the rivers of hell, like Styx.
Oh, okay, Styx. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
River Styx. What movie was I watching that had that in it?
Antichrist?
No, it just came out in theaters. Oh, Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, Clash of the Titans.
Clash
yeah.
of the Titans. Would you watch that?
Phlegathon was in Clash of the Titans?
No,
River
Styx. River
Styx
was.
No,
Clash of the Titans was badass.
Yeah, it was pretty
Have
cool.
you seen the original?
Yeah, I mean, that was whack.
Yeah. The one
I
liked better was Jason and the Argonauts. Have you seen that one?
No.
It's kind of like Clash of the Titans, you know, fights through all the mythological creatures and Medusa and all those, you know, whatever monster comes out of the ocean and uses Medusa's head to,
Oh, you're right. I'm looking up Phlegathon. Wikipedia here. It says.
Fire Flaming was one of the 5 rivers in the infernal regions of the underworld, along with the river Styx. I don't know how to pronounce the other ones.
Leth.
Blah, blah, blah. Pluto describes it as a stream of fire which coils around the earth and flows into the depths of Tartarus. So it's a gay river.
It was parallel.
It's flaming.
It's flaming. And it runs parallel to the river Styx, which is a pretty gay band. It has said that the goddess Styx was in love with Phlegathon and that she was consumed by his flames and sent to Hades. Eventually, when Hades allowed her river to flow through, they reunited. So maybe it's like a love story. Maybe that's an inappropriate title.
Yeah, I just kind of, I was thinking about something else. I didn't hear if you said it, but did you see that thing about Styx falling in love with Phlegethon?
No.
Because they're like, I'm not sure if they're gods or some kind of mythological creatures or something, but they fell in love, and something about Hades took Phlegethon's soul or something. There he is, right here.
And sent to Hades.
Styx was in love with Phlegethon, but it was consumed by his flames and sent to Hades eventually, blah, blah, blah. They reunited.
So it's a pretty...
Sounds like an opera.
So you're pretty good up in your Greek mythology.
No, I just read that right there.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just describing it, then you read it.
Yeah, I read that during a while ago. Not in class. I didn't read that in class.
Of course not. You don't do that type of stuff.
Of course not. No. I was listening... great performance today, by the way, Colin.
Oh, yeah, Colin played that. Well, you're getting ready for what they call it. What do they call it?
Proficiency,
whatever that means, right?
Yeah,
you do it every end of semester?
It's at the end of your year. Like, basically, it's a test to take me from the freshman to the sophomore level of guitar.
That's
lessons.
Crazy, dude. How many pieces do you have to play?
Six, by memory.
Is it 30 minutes, or?
Nah, mine's only going to be about 18.
Oh, okay. That's cool. You passed them all so far?
I'm doing good. I just need to take the time to really go over them. I've just been so busy. Like, I get a project every week, or like three projects every week for the past month and a half. So my practice time has gone down like an hour
Dang.
A day.
How do you make time for your band rehearsal? How do you get in the Barely. Death metal mindset? Like, you know, I mean, you got to be in a certain mindset to show up to death metal
I'm
rehearsal.
Just like, screw all these projects.
Yeah.
It's the next song right there.
Screw all these projects. Well,
world premiere.
You can't come in with a title like that. That's not how the way the band works, remember?
All these projects must die.
Can you present that to your band? Like, look, I want to have a song about, I want all these projects to die. They're just ruining my life. And they'll probably, I mean, they might say no. But I mean, at least you present
the
idea.
I think they'll all be for it.
Yeah. Are they really open like that? Or are they
no.
You should call
You're just
one.
A guitarist.
No, nah, they're cool. They pretty much like it.
You're just a guitarist.
You play
man.
A seven string. You have enough to do.
You should call that one Phlegethon.
Phlegethon.
Phlegethon. Because you just want to put all your projects into a river of fire and just watch it burn away.
So you're not one of those types of death metal bands like the band Nile, where it's all like Egyptian imagery and stuff? You know Nile?
No.
Yeah, actually, I saw them a few years ago.
I have never seen Nile, but they had badass songs, dude.
Yeah.
They tune really low, too, right?
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
I don't know.
You never heard Nile?
I've never heard Nile. It's probably what, Drop
what,
A or something?
What death metal bands have you seen, Tom?
I don't really watch, you know.
Like back in the day, did you ever go to death metal shows?
The only metal shows I would go to are probably like Pantera, Slayer. Let's see. Just name bands like that. I don't know that style. I'll tell you yes or no.
Fear Factory.
No, I haven't seen. I wasn't really into
Meshuggah?
Fear Factory. Yeah, I like Meshuggah a lot.
They were good.
Yeah, Lamb of God.
Have you guys heard of Periphery?
No.
No?
I think I have, but I got... I hear all these names, but I never go that gotten this.
You have got to check it. If you like Meshuggah, you should check out Periphery. They just came out with an album. It's like their guitarist Bulb is one of the sickest guitarists ever, as far as rhythmic is concerned.
One of the bands I'm listening to right now is, I've been listening to a while, is Mastodon.
Mastodon, I was going to say that. Mastodon, dude. The Crack the Sky album?
All of their albums,
amazing.
I think, really, oh my God, I just can't get over them. A lot of ideas are, okay, I get it. That was enough of that. You know, really? Like, come on. End that, and start something new. But yeah, got some really good rhythmic ideas. Just mixed meter, the drummer's excellent. You know, the guitar playing also is very good.
Oh,
and the vocals really match that kind of style. It's not like you want to have a vocalist who screams a lot, who sings more, but he kind of sounds like really, it fits. And when the vocalist, percussionist, and the string players, you know, work together, it creates a really good sound, and it's just really... offbeat, next meter kind of stuff, and just really flows. It's really heavy.
I love Mastodon. I saw them in Austin October. It was
yeah.
awesome. They played the entire album front to back.
Oh, yeah.
Crack the Sky.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
it was great. And I saw Death Clock after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were badass.
That's the concert. Yeah, yeah. I wanted to go to that.
They
one,
put on a badass show.
Yeah. I saw them at Ozfest a couple times. I think
Death Clock played Ozfest?
No, Mastodon.
Oh, okay.
And that was the first time I heard them. I don't know what Ozfest was, maybe like 4 years ago, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I always heard about Mastodon this, Mastodon that. I never heard them, but then we went to Ozfest and I was like, oh my God. And to hear someone at a live show, I think I typically like to hear bands' recordings first, yeah, and then go to a live show, and I kind of dig it more. But it was complete opposite. You know, I saw them live first, and it just blew me away. I was like, who is this? What's going on here? And, oh, my God, it's really good. That's what I'm listening to right now. What about you guys?
Mastodon? I haven't gotten to Mastodon real since that concert. I mean, I go with these phases like, oh, I'm obsessed with Mastodon, then I go see their concert. And then, you know, I stopped listening to them.
Yeah, well, let's hear something from Collins.
All right, so we have this track coming up. It's called, where is it at?
Yeah, this is called Transcend. I actually wrote this about a year ago, and I played this here, I guess it was last week for the Find Me Alpha Musicale. Really? I played this in the recital hall. It actually
really?
Went pretty well. It was really
How'd
cool.
you play it? I mean, what's the instrumentation on?
Well, it's backing track, like an MP3 file backing track that I made in some recording software with drums and all that. And I played that through, and I plugged in my my preamp and just played through the PA system in the house.
Awesome. So what's this, that's the story behind it? There's no kind of like, you know, we should be feeling this image as
No, it just kind of came together. I mean, I was actually playing classical one day, and I came up with the backing riff that I ended up doing a solo right in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it just came together. I mean, I wrote it for a talent show at my old college, North Vista Community College.
Oh, cool.
And they were having a talent show, and I was like, oh, well, why don't I enter and see what goes on. I wasn't expecting to win or anything like that, but I actually won first place.
What?
I got $1,000.
Dude!
From this track?
Yeah, from this track.
So we're about to hear an award-winning track.
Award-winning
track. Yeah, so I used that to buy the guitar that I have right now, the DRC7X.
It
was like
so
about
cool.
a year ago.
You're like,
so how does the title reflect the song?
It was just kind of transcending my current boundaries of guitar playing at the time, but it's also meant transcend just, like, and always, my life is always about evolution, you know, I'm always trying to transcend my personal boundaries, transcend my ego, transcend all my physical boundaries, and I was really at the peak of my electric guitar playing at this time, and with what I was writing, I was learning all this cool stuff like sweeps and extended pentatonics, and that stuff I had never been able to do before.
So that's all in this song that we're about to hear. Okay. That's why I won first place. All right, so this is Colin Varville. This is you solo, right? It's not the band that we've been talking about.
No, this is all me. I recorded this all at home.
Awesome. Cool.
Boom. Hit play.
All right, let's do it. We'll be right back. that's it, right? That's the end of the song.
Heavy.
Heavy. Good
that's
stuff.
All you have to say about that.
Yeah, man. Crazy. That was intense. When the drums kicked in. I mean, I don't know, you guys. I don't know. I mean, what do you have to say about it? What's your favorite part of the song?
My favorite part of the song is when the second solo at the end kind of kicks off and the chorus or the choir comes in. That's one of my favorite parts. It's just like boom, boom. It's like real heavy.
So award winning, I can see why.
Yep.
It's good stuff. It's good
so
stuff.
Are we going to see that on an album someday?
Maybe, yeah. I want to get a polished version of that up sometime. That was kind of a rough, sloppy-ish take that I had done a while ago. I was kind of in a hurry.
Take you to lay it down, like 2 hours?
Not even sure. I think it took me about 6 hours to like program all the drums and get all the rhythm tracks and basically get the whole song written and arranged and all that, and then maybe like another hour or two to record. But I recorded this. This is the second time I recorded this. This one was not too long after I had just started recovering from breaking my collarbone, so my arm.
How'd you
really
break
wasn't
your collarbone?
I was riding my bike. Okay, it was actually the day after I won that talent show.
Wait, when
so
you
I was like
the same day?
No, it was like the day after. Like I won the talent show like on a Friday night, and then Saturday morning I was out riding my bike, and I was really stoked from
when
the talent
you say
show.
Bike,
I was really pumped.
Wait.
Just bicycle.
Bicycle.
I wish I could tell you I had a cool motorcycle and everything. You know,
I fell off my chopper. I was driving too fast.
Yeah,
and
I jumped three cars, but I didn't quite make it down the last one.
Cool.
It must have been an awesome bicycle then, because
yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, I was just being stupid.
Matt Hoffman.
He's old, dude, right?
Yeah, I still think he's pretty cool.
I mean, he was.
Yeah, I guess
that means because we're getting old, right?
Unfortunately.
How old are you, Colin?
Pretty old. Rather than talking.
How
about
old
it.
Is old? Oh.
I'm about as old
as you.
I'm
25,
by
the way. I'll be 26 in August.
I'm 24. I just turned 24.
So you're not even a quarter of a century old.
Yeah.
You're a youngin.
I'm a youngin. That counts as youngin now.
Mm-hmm. So once you hit that, you know, quarter of a century mark, then.
I know it's a big deal, man. I didn't think it was gonna be. It was like, see, I've always felt like I'm more like I'm 21, even though the numbers keep getting up there. When I hit 25, I was like, wow, I'm a quarter of a century. Everyone starts calling me old, and I'm like, what?
Well, God, I mean, look at the new guys that come into the program. You know, everyone's like really young, 18, 19. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
And they're badass.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? He's 18, 19.
I just feel old.
Oh.
I just feel old. Especially
no matter
for
how bad.
Competition are. Winners? Are you kidding me? What's that kid's name? From 2006 Youth GFA that we saw.
Dale Smith?
Yeah. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? 16 years old?
But think about what the non existent social life they might have and how emotionally stunted they are. No idea of the practice, you know, when they're in high school.
I think I'm a little socially retarded, but I don't really practice as much as they do.
Well, think about how exponentially more socially retarded they are.
I guess so.
I mean, we're pretty cool dudes. I mean,
you think so?
Yeah. I mean, we play pretty well.
I think I'm pretty lame.
No, you're not lame. Right? Are you lame? If you're lame, we're going to have to kick you off the show.
But I started it, so I guess it's just going to continue, and you just won't be lame.
That'll just be called the Cool Jake Podcast.
Cool Jake. That's going to be your nickname.
Cool Jake. Jake and Podcast. I'm going to have auditions to see who's going to have a new co-host, because you obviously just admitted you're not cool enough to be on the show.
Yeah, well, this show's not really about that.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's more about people like Colin.
Yeah.
Right?
See, like, cool. they take the coolness from us. And
yeah. If we don't have a cool guest, then we're screwed.
Yeah.
The show sucks.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, not that any of our guests have been uncool so far, but.
Oh, we have to remind people about, I guess we'll put a note in there for next time, or wall post, that we're still accepting Skype calls.
Oh, yes. The Skype thing's still going on for you people that want to talk to us on the show live.
We'll post when we're actually going to do it, so you know when to call us.
Yeah.
I'll be like, okay, Monday at 3:30, you know, make sure to Skype us on Tom and Jake Podcast. That's the name of our Skype number.
That's our Skype name, yeah.
And you can search for us, but we'll post it on our wall way ahead of time, so you guys can, or you can put a wall comment. Like, who was who left the wall comment?
The dude Mitch?
Name? Mitch, yeah, be like Mitch, and put a wall comment, and then we'll see it on the show, and we'll say something about it.
Oh, yeah, we commented on this stuff. He was talking about the playoffs, but the Spurs lost last night, but whatever.
Yeah. I still think the Suns are going to pull through.
Oh, yeah, sure.
How are the Lakers going to do if they can't even beat Oklahoma City?
They're not going to be meeting Oklahoma City. It's impossible.
The Lakers?
Yeah.
But you said at the beginning the Lakers were going to
win. I didn't realize what a beast Kevin Durant was.
He is a beast, but he doesn't really have help. And I don't think it's going to matter.
You don't think
I think
pull
the
through?
Lakers.
What's the series at? Is it tied 2-2?
I think it's 3-2. It was 2-2, but the Lakers just won.
Oh, damn
So it's 3-2.
Oh, dang.
They still have a chance, but I don't think the Lakers are going to. Who would they play after who's that other West team? The Jazz. Yeah, they're going to play the Jazz. Hope the Jazz beat them. I think they have a really good chance.
The Jazz, huh?
But I think we're pretty much there. Done for the day. So.
Done for the day. We had Colin Varville on today.
Yeah.
Learned a lot about his band. What's the name of your band again?
Inovo.
Let's refresh our memory.
Inovo.
Okay.
Inovo.
And you guys have a show?
This Saturday, May 1st, at Zombies. I think we're on like 10 or 10:30.
So this Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Everybody show up. Support some local Southern influenced metal, real grooving stuff. It's gonna be real heavy, right?
Oh, yeah.
You guys have mosh pits. Give out, get
oh,
a
yeah.
big fan base
oh, yeah.
or what?
Decent size, yeah.
At least 20, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh good. All you need is 20 people to have a good show. In my experience, I mean, if there's at least 20 people there, you're like, I can get down with these people. But
oh,
if there's
yeah.
like 10, you're just kind of standing there, like, oh look, I went to a show nobody went to. Kind of sucks. But that won't happen on Saturday.
Oh, no. I always have a good group of friends, a core group of guys that come out and start a mosh pit every time.
Good. That's cool. What you need.
It's always a
great.
Good time.
And maybe you can go to the mosh pit next time and train for your boxing.
Oh, yeah. I should show up.
Yeah.
That would be good training.
Go to the mosh pit and just start, you know.
No. I'm just going to go in the middle and just...
Take punches.
Yeah,
just stand there. Take as many punches as you can.
See what
That'll
happens.
Be a good training experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe then you can have a chance. It depends how hardcore the mosh pit is.
I mean, I've already been cheap-shotted by Jesse today in the hallway
yeah.
of UTSA.
See, I should have taken a picture and then we could have posted it.
Got clocked in the jaw. He supposedly was an accident, but I think it was...
Is this some of the dirty fighting you've been talking about?
Yeah, that's what he's doing, dude. He's not fighting clean. I don't know. I don't want to go in too much in it because, you know.
Because then he might hit you on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want him to do another cheap shot when I'm not looking, like I wasn't, you know. I was just looking and all of a sudden, boom, somebody clocked me on the jaw. I didn't fall or anything. It didn't hurt very much. But suppose he was only 10% of his ability.
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes. But that boxing match is coming up way later.
Yeah.
So what's important now is Colin's show this Saturday. Everybody show up and... just want to thank you for being on the show.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, we're signing off from the Tom and Jake podcast. Goodbye, everybody.